He looks just so relaxed, like he was looking when he was campaigning, when he was a congressman. But now he is Senator Joe Donnelly. He's been in 6 months now, and he's getting used. Senator, how you doing?
Amos, thank you so much for having me with you on the air today. Things are going great, and I feel extraordinarily privileged not only to represent the entire state of Indiana, but Indianapolis as well. I've really come to know the city more and more every day.
Let me ask what I know are on Hoosier's mind. The president said on Friday, you know, all this whole, what are we, snooping, spying, internet, and what have you. And he said in his remarks, you can't have 100% security. You can't have 100% privacy and 0% inconvenience. And I know Hoosiers want to make sure that we don't have another Boston Marathon bombing, that the bad guys are not coming over here ready to do harm, but Hoosiers also don't like to know if we're on the internet or on the phone that somebody's listening in.
And that is the balancing act. And my understanding of this is that there is no content. They're not obtaining any content. What they're obtaining or has been numbers and patterns of numbers, mm-hmm. of phone numbers called and things like that in regards to certain groups and individuals, and it has already, from what I understand, prevented one incident from occurring.
Right.
And so nobody has any interest in what the conversation's context is or where you're going on the internet or whether you're playing internet poker.
Right.
You know, that's not what this is about.
Is there a lot of conversation in the Senate cloakroom on both sides of the aisle about this, or do members of the Senate kind of understand the stakes involved?
There will be more discussion next week, but there is also an understanding how serious this is. Mm-hmm. This is not perfect,
right?
But in every way, shape, and form, the goal is to protect everyone's privacy, mm-hmm. while being able to make sure, for instance, that at the Indy 500, people mm-hmm. are able to go and have a safe day,
right.
watch a great race, and come home to their loved ones.
On the Affordable Care Act, I mean, we're getting now down to use a basketball term, we're in the fourth quarter now. This thing is getting ready to start. The sign-ups, I think, are going to be in the fourth quarter of the year. Are you concerned, as I've talked to other members of Congress and talked to institutions here in Indianapolis, that we don't have the information that we need to be able to tell my listeners, the community, Hoosiers, how this thing is getting ready to work?
I am concerned about that. I am encouraged by the fact that some of the states that have had rates mm-hmm. come out
right.
have actually been lower, like California
right.
and Washington and Oregon, that the competition that's involved has resulted in equal or lower rates.
Right.
But I'm also concerned, especially for small businesses mm-hmm. and business people
right.
and individual, you know, folks who, for want of a better word, what I used to be sometimes, a one-man band,
right.
you know, that,
right.
that you're doing everything in your business. They need to have the time and they need to have the information necessary to make the right decisions. And so, you know, part of what I'm trying to do, too, is say, look, if we don't have all the information to everybody, it would not be damaging in my mind to say, hey, let's put this off a little bit until everybody has the info they need. Let's not penalize anybody.
Right.
Because they don't have the information they need to succeed with this.
You talked about small business. Are you also concerned about institutions that are holding off or that will cut people's hours back 3, 4, 5 hours a week because they don't want to pay the insurance under, if you're a part-timer working more than 30 hours a week? We've had some school systems in Indiana rattling that particular cage.
I am, and I have been working with some of my Republican colleagues to try to redefine what part-time is,
mm-hmm.
and what full-time is. That full-time is trying to redefine it as 40 hours,
right.
which is what full-time is.
Right.
Everybody knows that. And I'm hopeful that that will, if accepted, that will help this situation.
But it's also confusing for workers because here in Indiana, our governor didn't want to set up an exchange. That means the feds are going to set up an exchange. I'm getting, you know, the sense that a lot of the insurance companies are going to participate in the exchange. You know, I think WellPoint's going to play. Everybody else is not going to want WellPoint to control Indiana, so it's going to be a lot of competition, maybe finally like auto insurance. benefits. But that also means that people can sign up. In other words, if the employer is not offering, that's what the exchange – I thought that's what the exchange was about.
That's the whole purpose of the exchange is for people to be able to get insurance at an affordable rate. Mm-hmm. And just what you're talking about, we've had a situation in Indiana for a very long time where one or two companies have had the vast majority, which can affect competition. Mm-hmm. And the more people you have playing the game, the better the chance is that everybody wants to carve out a market for themselves,
right.
And that they'll hit a price point that does that for them.
Speaking of health care, when you were a congressman, you were concerned about our veterans. You've gone over to Afghanistan as a U.S. senator. You're concerned about not only jobs and services for our veterans, but mental health?
It is a constant challenge. Mm-hmm. And we lost, Amos, and this is extraordinarily tragic, we lost more young men and women to suicide than we lost in combat in Afghanistan last year.
And wait. We lost more of our guys and ladies to suicide than the bad guys getting them in Afghanistan last year?
That's right.
Oh,
and that is the kind of thing that just rips your heart out. Mm-hmm. And so actually the Indiana National Guard, probably better than – and I'm not just saying this because I'm mm-hmm. the Indiana right. senator, but facts are they have put together a better program for suicide prevention, mm-hmm. to eliminate sexual assault, to watch out for our soldiers than any other state in the entire country.
Mm.
They've done an extraordinary job, but my job is not only to be a senator for Indiana, but to make sure that every young man and woman can come home safe.
You mentioned the sin of sexual assault in our military. Are you saying that perhaps our Indiana National Guard could show the way to the rest of the military not to have these kind of messes that I know the female senators, they're on the warpath on a bipartisan basis to clean that up?
And I am on that. I'm actually on that committee uh-huh. and was in that hearing
okay.
and going over those very same subjects. The Indiana National Guard has actually, and this is something we can take extraordinary pride in, has put together a model program that 17 other states mm. have followed
mm.
and that the other 32
right.
are looking at mm. that it was called the J-9 program.
Okay.
And what it does is puts together almost every section where it is moms and dads, where it is taking care of the financial, helping mm. to deal with mm-hmm. the financial issues.
Mm-hmm.
So it combines both the aspect to eliminate sexual assault and to try to eliminate suicide. Because what we found, think of this too, Amos, that for those who have committed suicide in our military, more than half are not deployed. They're home. They're home. Mm. And what it's from is the things we all have challenges with, financial situations. And so many are young in the military, relationships,
mm-hmm.
where they look and they go, it is hard to understand there is another day. Mm. And that's what we want to make sure is that we have somebody there to talk to them, that their careers are not affected in any way by going out and seeking mm. someone to talk to.
So that's another fear. Hey, if I tell my CO, if I tell the chaplain that maybe something wrong, that will keep me from going, from lieutenant to captain
exactly.
or sergeant to master sergeant, that kind of thing.
That when I'm up for a promotion, mm-hmm. they're going to look and not give it to me.
Mm.
And that is completely out of the question now. That what we're trying to make sure happens is that people can get help, get the opportunity to get squared away, and not have it affect their record in any way, shape, or form.
I know there were some groups that visited your Indiana office trying to get you to deal with the situation with immigration. I know there is a bill in the Senate that is trying to move on a bipartisan basis. Obviously, you're evaluating it. At what point will you make up your mind how you're going to vote?
Well, we don't have the bill yet.
Okay.
And so when we do, then I'll know what the content of it is. And mm-hmm. sometimes it is best to try to work to create to work on legislation rather than being out front screaming about it all mm-hmm. the time. And so when I see what the legislation will be, that's when we'll start to put it together.
One of the issues on immigration that people are bringing to me is to make sure that in any solution to this issue, that all regions of the world are treated fairly, and that it's not just Hispanic areas. And this is coming from people from the Caribbean, people from African nations that are concerned that are immigrants from those countries going to be treated on a level playing field, or will the field as – because if you look through the history of immigration in this country, it's always been uneven. Some group has been pushed to the – to the side.
Sure.
Asians were pushed to the side, the situation with Haitians versus Cubans. How do we make sure that – is that one of the things you're going to be looking for when you finally see a big stack of paper?
Right. How is everybody treated?
Yeah.
And we're the United States of America, and what that automatically implies is that we treat everybody the same. When I was on my trip to Afghanistan, one of the places we went to was the Turkish-Syrian border, and I visited the Syrian refugee camps there because we wanted to talk to the families who were there. They're in the middle of an incredibly vicious civil war in Syria, and the feeling that this is an amazing thing. And, you know, we take so much for granted here when we're home. And the things we complain about, you look at the end of the week and you go, I can't believe I complained about something so silly as that. Mm-hmm. But the things we complain about, these folks came up to me, and the refugees.
Right.
And they said, you're with the American government, aren't you? And I said, I am. Mm-hmm. And they said, you are our only hope. Mm-hmm. They said, we know. They said, group after group comes near or comes there. They said, it's the Americans we want to see, because it's always the Americans who try to do what's right. And that is from Syrians whose only contact has been reading a paper or hearing what their neighbor had to say. This is after decades and decades and decades of Bashar Assad telling them how awful the Americans are. They all know inherently that it, and everyone in the world looks to us. And so our obligation is to try to make sure whatever we do is done right.
But that also makes it very difficult. But I think the as you well know, Hoosiers, we're a little leery of putting our guys and ladies back in harm's way any place else in the world.
Absolutely, and rightly so. And our men and women from Terre Haute and Indianapolis and Beech Grove and Fort Wayne, there will be no boots on the ground in Syria. Mm-hmm. That is not our role. Mm-hmm. I don't see the point of putting men and women from our country in the middle of a fight where on one side are the Russians, Hezbollah, the Iranians, the Syrians, the Syrian official government. On the other side is Al-Qaeda. How are we going to get in the middle of a fight between Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah?
Have you told John McCain and them that? Because they're the ones trying to push us into that.
I understand what he's trying to do, which is to create a no-fly zone so that the rebels themselves can have an effective fighting force. But there's no role for American young men and women to be part of that fighting force.
Yeah, the only problem with a no-fly zone is somebody has to patrol that, and then the plane gets hit, and then they end up on the wrong side of the line. Then we got to go in and get our guys and get our ladies out.
And the other problem with that is the Syrian army's anti-missile sites.
Yeah, and they're good.
They're good.
These are not, you know, little rookies. I mean, they are a professional army with good arms.
These are battle-hardened, tested veterans.
Unemployment, 7.6% for May, a tad up. More people looking for work, but here in Indiana, sluggish.
We have such a great opportunity, Amos, and the opportunity is this. Think of this. You remember how challenging it was back in 2009 and 2010.
Right.
We've had 31 straight months of job increases, month after month after month. And it's not perfect, but we're adding jobs. Now, the single biggest thing we could do in Indiana, or one of the single biggest things we could do, and this ties into so much of what you talk about all the time, is education. Mm-hmm. If we have the best skilled workforce, it would be stunning how many companies would come here. How many jobs would be here, and how many jobs we could fill immediately. I know I was out around 95th Street about a week ago. Mm-hmm. Fella has a company out there. He has 40 jobs open right now, internet / information technology jobs.
Right.
And he said, I can't fill them. Mm-hmm. I can't find people to fill the jobs. And so I am almost begging our young men and women, finish high school, get additional education. And if you do, the time and effort you put in, number one, you'll find out that it's something that when you do it will be incredibly rewarding. I love being able to learn something so much more than just sitting and watching TV.
But does the other side understand that we can't have college, whether they're college students or whether they're at Ivy Tech, amassing more debt than Wall Street?
And that same debt that you're talking about, when you and I came out of school.
Right. It was 2%, and it was cheap tuition.
Right, and we could work a construction job during summer, mm-hmm. and pay half the tuition.
Right.
It was $4,000 when I graduated. Mm-hmm. It's $50,000 now, and so the kids I knew would finish up with like $6,000-$7,000 in debt, mm-hmm. and the money they'd make they could buy a house with.
Right.
So instead of buying houses, we're paying off student loans now because people come out with $100,000, $200,000. So it's not only choking those students' economic growth for the future, right. it's choking our economy as well. Yeah. It's a significant, significant problem. And to say that we don't want to allow the interest rate to be at 3.4% right. is almost unbelievable. Because here's the thing. They say, well, it would increase the deficit. Well, it's a very, very profitable program. Mm-hmm. What they're saying, it would be just the margins wouldn't be as high. Well, this is the United States government. We ought to be able to have our sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, be able to get a good education at a reasonable cost.
When people, you know, watch the television news or they hear the pundits, they say senators can't get along, Republicans are fighting with Democrats, there's no common ground. You've been in now the world's oldest or deliberative body for 6 months. Y'all just sit there and fuss and feud and fight and not talk to each other?
Couldn't be more disconnected from the real situation, mm-hmm. which is I have strong personal relationships with all 99 other members, mm-hmm. and that is what it's based on. I mean, people look and go, you can't be friends with all 99.
Wait a minute, you get along with Rand Paul?
You know, this is a true story. When Rand Paul was about to start his filibuster, remember the filibuster?
Yeah.
This is absolutely true, is that we had just finished up some votes, mm-hmm. and the fellow who sits in the chair, the man or woman who sits in the chair and recognizes who speaks next is called the president.
President, right.
So I had to go up and talk to Rand about an issue regarding right. our two states. Mm-hmm. And I was walking over and I said, hey, Rand, you have a second? And he goes, hang on a second. I'm trying to get the president's attention. Mm-hmm. And the president picked on somebody else who spoke for a minute or two. And I looked and I said, oh, I guess you'll be going next. I'll get back to you later. Well, that was him trying to be recognized to do the 13-hour filibuster. So my question had to wait 13 hours. But the answer to your question is, yeah, I have good relationships with all of them. Obviously, some are better friends than others. But it's a system where everything is based on your word. Your word is your bond. Mm-hmm. And so there's a desire to try to get things done
right.
by a vast majority. You have extremes on both sides. Mm-hmm. And those are folks that you know, hey, I can talk to them, I can sit with them, we can talk about things, but I know I'm not going to get anywhere with them.
Right.
Here's the folks I can get somewhere with.
So the middle is trying to move, whether it's the middle on the Republican side, right. the middle on the Democratic side.
Absolutely. And trying to move, trying to be a big part of the immigration discussion, the farm mm-hmm. bill discussion, the deficit discussion, all of those, that the solutions that come down aren't over to the left or aren't over to the right, but what I like to call are Hoosier common sense decisions.
You mentioned the farm bill, and normally that doesn't mean anything to people listening except it's tied to food stamps.
It is.
And I understand there's people trying to cut that part of it.
There is less money for food stamps, but what we've tried to focus on is those areas that don't directly affect food received, if you know mm-hmm. what I mean,
right.
that it's on the other areas.
Okay.
And so the one thing we never want to have is for a child or a family to not be able to have food to eat. Mm-hmm. And we've worked very, very hard to make sure that it's a food program that works, that enables people to be able to have a good meal and to be able to take care of their family.
He's our U.S. Senator, Joe Donnelly. Family getting used? Everybody getting used to everything?
Oh, yeah. It's been great.
How hard's the commuting?
If you ask me what's the worst part of the job, I would tell you that is. Last week, and I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. I feel incredibly fortunate to have this opportunity. Last week, I was going to be working in Northwest Indiana, so I flew into O'Hare. And it was a 7-hour delay. And we spent 3 hours on the tarmac.
That's why we need more air service at the Gary Airport.
I am all in favor of that. Mayor Wilson's the best spokesman for that, maybe me.
Senator Joe Donnelly, it's always good to see you. Thanks
very
much for being with us.
And thanks also to all the listeners.